Sometimes funny little cases that don't make the news contain interesting lessons if we take the time to look at them. One such case decided by the Supreme Court this last June is Kimball versus Marvel Entertainment. Imagine you're a small company needing access to expensive patented technology. Patent will expire in 5 years, and the cost of a 5-year license is $1 million. Well, ideally, you'd pay $200,000 a year for 5 years to use the technology, but what if you don't have the cash? You and the technology owner might rationally agree to stretch out payments in the form of royalties over a longer period than 5 years as a sort of financing mechanism. Does such an agreement sound nefarious? Well, in 1964, the Supreme Court in Brulot v. Tice held that royalty agreements that exceed a patent's term length are per se illegal and unenforceable. Economists have been howling about the case ever since. Well, the Supreme Court was asked to reconsider Brulot last June in a case involving a patent license on a Spider-Man toy that was written to exceed the length of the toy's patent. We economists in the know predicted the court would reverse the silly rule in Brulot, especially since the case presents an added reason to enforce such agreements. In Kimball v. Marvel Entertainment, the patentee is actually the little guy, an independent inventor licensing to a multi-billion-dollar media group. Marvel paid Kimball a fixed sum up front and then agreed to pay a 3% yearly royalty on sales of the toy with no fixed end date. Now, why would Marvel engineer such a deal when it certainly has the cash to pay for the entire value of the invention from day one? Well, think about it. How can anyone really know the present value of the invention? How many toys will be sold? Will it be a flop or a hit? With most patents, you have extreme valuation problems before you actually try to make and sell a product. Of course, one way to rationally deal with this uncertainty is to enter into a long-term royalty agreement rather than an outright sale. That way, the risk of success or failure are shared between the parties over time. Sound reasonable? Well, unfortunately for Mr. Kimball, a lawyer at Marvel ran across the old Brulot case and argued that Marvel did not have to honor the royalty agreement once the patent expired. The case made its way to the Supreme Court, with economists cheering all the way for the court to throw water on the wicked witch of Brulot versus Tice. But a funny thing happened. The court acknowledged the uniform economic condemnation of Brulot, if not its silliness, but still refused to overrule the case. The court held firm and told Marvel that it can stop paying Mr. Kimball when the patent expires. Stare decisis, it said, the doctrine embodying the force of legal precedent, means that the court should only reverse itself in extraordinary circumstances. How come? Well, stare decisis is also a way for the court to paint itself as an institution bound by existing law, not an institution that is authorized to search for the best policy. Stare decisis assures institutional integrity and the image of objective decision-making, something the court badly needs to communicate after Citizens United, which inflamed liberals by holding that corporations have First Amendment rights, and Obergefell, which inflamed conservatives by establishing marriage equality. Our funny little patent case may in fact be a little piece in a larger story about how the court intends to rebuild its image as a legal institution. This is Paul Heald.